and you live in a body. Your spirit is the real you. Your soul is your mind. Your mind is your will, your emotions, and your intellect. And then you live in a body. You've heard it, I guess, if you've been to a funeral, they call the body a tabernacle or a house or a tent that we dwell in while we're here on the earth. But after you're born again, you get a new spirit. Then that leaves your soul and your body to contend with that has not been changed. And God wants that to be changed. Change is a process that many people, even in the church, find it very difficult. However, it is necessary for us to change to reach the full potential that the Lord has for us. God has destiny wrote on each and every one of our lives. He has a place for us. He has a destiny for all of us to reach. He has, and we all have potential. But if we're not willing to change, then we'll never reach that. And change is another word for, how many's ever heard you say in the Christian world, growing. When you're born again, you're what you call a spiritual babe. Just like in the natural, you are a babe. And then it says we have to grow from that point on into maturity. So change is part of the Christian walk, and the Lord wants us to change. But there are hindrances to change, and I want to share some of those with you today. And the first one is pride, the second one fear, then there's rebellion, and then there's laziness. And then there's ignorance. Now, before that offends you, let me explain what that means, because somebody, don't call me ignorant. Ignorant just means you're without understanding or knowledge of that particular, whatever you're trying to understand. It does not mean you're stupid. It means you just don't know. If you're ignorant of the facts, you don't know the facts. That's what it means. And that's one of the things that will hinder us from changing. But this Christian walk that we live in is a continual changing. People come to the church, and when we first get born again, our lives are a mess. And listen to this. God does not want us to stay a mess. He has given us the ability to change. He has given us the Word of God to change. He's given us the Holy Spirit to empower us to change. So the Lord wants us to change. There's no doubt about it. Now, there's things that hinder us from changing. In Romans chapter 1, chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, it says, this is Paul talking to the Roman church, and he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. That word beseech means I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. That word transformed means changed. That's a fancy word for change. But be ye changed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Look at this real closely with me before we move on. He's saying that in light of everything that God has done, the mercies of God, that we should do something with two things that didn't get changed. One is our body and one is our mind. Our body, he says, it should be a living sacrifice. In other words, while we're living, we sacrifice ourselves unto the Lord, our lives unto the Lord. In other words, we willingly accept change in our lives as a living sacrifice. And notice he says sacrifice. Sacrifice means it's going to cost you something. Sacrifice means it's going to cost us something. Nothing's free. Salvation's free, but change is not. Change comes with some sacrifice. And God's saying, as a living sacrifice, that means as we're alive, we're supposed to lay our bodies or give our bodies unto the Lord for His purposes. And then it goes on to say, and be not conformed to this world. In verse 2, that's the way the world does things. How many understand this morning? If there was a line down this side of the church, and now this is not, don't take this wrong, this side of the church. This side represented the world, this side represented the things of God. There is a line between what God does and what the world does. And they're opposed to one another. They don't agree. You don't believe me? Watch TV a little while. Watch Jerry Springer. Somebody said, well, I like that show. Well, you shouldn't. That's dysfunctional people that need Jesus. They need to change. Praise God. That's not normal. Amen. Sister Charlotte called me this morning and said, pray that I get back down there because this part of the country, and Sister Pam's from that, and I'm not against St. Louis. Please don't misunderstand me. But because of the mass of people that's there compared to what's here in this rural area, there is a whole lot more crime, drugs, and things that go on in the city that don't go on. There are drugs here. There's crime here. But it's just, there's so much more of it there. And she said, pray that I get my van fixed, that I can get back to Bon Terre. I want to get back where it's peaceful and it's not always commotion and always stuff going on, and it's not all, most of it's not good. Now, I'm not saying everybody in St. Louis is bad. Please don't misunderstand me. But I'm using this as a comparison here. The world's way of doing things and God's way of doing things are two different ideas or ideologies. They're not the same. And God wants us to, after we get born again, He wants us to embrace His way of doing things. Isaiah 55:11 says, my ways are not your ways, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts than yours. Now that's the old unborn again person who hasn't received the Lord. Now, after we receive the Lord, He says, give your body over to me, and then let me have your mind so I can change you. You have to have a different mind change, mindset, a new way of thinking in order for there to be change in your life. You will always keep making the same mistakes over and over and over if you continually think the same way. A lot of people that are caught in a trap or bondage or in a cycle is because they think that way. If you begin to think different, you think outside the box, you'll start to do different. And if you do different, you'll get different results. Change will happen. And see, the Lord wants us to change. The whole Christian life is about change. The only way we're going to change is by the renewing of our mind. And the Word of God, it says, has to be what we're renewed with. And then it says we can prove that which is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Now, just acquiring knowledge doesn't mean your mind's going to be renewed. Let me share what you need to do and bring up James. Just acquiring knowledge or hearing Bible stories or hearing about the truth will not necessarily make you have a different mindset. Years ago when I first got born again, I read the Bible 3 to 4 hours a day. I needed that because I was out there. My mind was not right. Thank God for the Word of God. And it started straightening out my thinking. But anyways, that didn't necessarily change me. It gave me a lot of knowledge. Knowledge without change is just knowledge. Amen. I can know how to rebuild an engine on a car, but if I never actually go and do it, then what good is it? Is that right? So, once we get knowledge, there's something else that has to be added to it. And this is in James 2:22. It says, see thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. In other words, faith, or what we understand or learn from God's Word, has to have accompanying works with it. Once our mind begins to take on this new knowledge from the Lord, we have to be willing to apply the truth. If you don't apply the knowledge that you gain, it does you no good. There are people sitting in the church, not this church, of course, in the church today that's been in the church 10, 15, 20, 25 years, 30 years, and are still struggling with the same stuff that they had when they first got born again. They've been hearing the truth. They've been hearing the Word, but what's lacking? They're not applying the truth. If you told me how to do something if you told me how to get to a certain city, and I've done this before, by the way. I've stopped and asked for directions, and they tell me, and then I don't follow the directions. And then I end up somewhere in Egypt, and I'm lost. And I wonder why. Well, it's because I didn't apply what was being told to me. And it's the same way with the Word of God. So once we hear the Word of God, once we realize that we need change in our life, and we begin to take on the Word of God, then we have to apply what we're learning. And let me tell you what the evidence of a mind that is renewed is this, is that you don't respond to the old temptations the same way you used to. Let me give you an example. I used to have a short fuse. And God removed my fuse, praise God. Then took all the gunpowder out. Thank God. But it didn't take much. And understand this, the devil, the enemy, knows what buttons to push in your life to get you to respond a certain way. Well, how does he know that, Pastor? He watches how you operate. He's not all-knowing, but he sees patterns in your life. In other words, if some but certain attitudes will get you mad, some people have a problem with road rage. If traffic gets all bunged up and you can't move in the traffic and people's not going fast, I don't have this problem, praise God. And you respond negatively, meaning that you get road rage, it means that there's a button in your life that's been pushed. There's an area of your life that needs to be renewed that you need to change in so that you don't respond that way again. I've had to really work at this because I like to get where I'm going and I like to get there fast. I don't like messing around, and I would do well in St. Louis because I drive like a St. Louisan. But I found out that even though I drive crazy, people always that drive slow always make it to the same destination about the same time I do. And they don't have near the stress level. What I'm saying is when you know that your mind's renewed, when you have applied that truth, you won't respond to the situation the same way you did before. And see, that's real change. That's when change is happening. When people push your buttons or say certain things to you that's going to make you mad. And wives know what make their husbands mad, don't they? There's not a man in here to stand up and be a man this morning. Praise God. Said that, see, they don't know. They got us whooped. Listen to me. Wives know and men know what makes the woman irritate the woman. And if they're trying to push the button on the other person, but once your mind's renewed, you know. And you don't react the way you did before. Same way with sin. If certain things you're drawn to, which is the Bible said, we're drawn away of our own lust. It means that there's an area of our life that there's a weakness. And when change happens, when that temptation comes along, we don't respond to it the same way. Amen? Some people, when they see girls on TV that are half naked, especially if they're a guy, it arouses something in them that needs to be changed. I'm not recommending that you sit there and gawk at it, but I'm saying that you should, when you grow to a point, you won't respond to it the same way. You won't sit there and dwell it, and it won't have that draw and that attraction. That means your mind in that area of your life has been renewed. Amen. People who have addiction problems. And listen to me carefully. Some people think, well, drugs is the worst thing you could ever get on. Well, there's food addictions. There's addictions of every kind, and sin is sin. It doesn't matter what it is. Sin is sin. So we in the church have a tendency to set certain sins and say, well, this one's worse than this and this and this and this and this. Now, they all have different consequences. But in God's eyes, sin is sin. And what I'm saying is once we get our minds renewed, we won't respond to people. Years ago when I was addicted to smoking, man, I mean, it didn't take much. There were certain things that triggered me wanting a cigarette in my life. And I would give in to it when that urge would get there. If it was pressure, people use cigarettes to relieve the pressure. Come on, church. When you're stressed out, people will smoke because it makes them relax. There is a chemical in the cigarette that actually does that to you. And sometimes when people, there's other things that trigger it, like after they eat, there's triggers. But I'm saying once you've let God start to renew your mind, you'll find that things that used to be a temptation to you, things that used to be a struggle to you, now fall by the wayside and are no longer. And guess what happened? You changed. So see, this is how people change in church. Some people have this idea in church that God just miraculously touches all of us and all of our problems go away. That's not true. The church is full of problems. And the problem is that people aren't embracing change. If we want real change, we're going to have to take the Word of God and we're going to have to take change serious. If you don't want change, you can be born again and stay just as messed up as you was when you got born again the rest of your life and maybe even make heaven. But why? Why stay miserable when you don't have to? And you won't reach the destiny that God has for you. You won't reach the goals that God has for you. You won't live the blessed life. You won't have the financial prosperity and all the things that accompany the benefits of serving the Lord, because you're refusing to change. There are hindrances to us changing. And there's those things that we don't are willing to change will keep us from reaching our full potential in the Lord. So here's some of the hindrances I want to share with you this morning. The first one is pride. And what does pride say? It says, I don't need to change. I want to tell you this morning, bring up Philippians. All of us need to change. Not a one of us in here have arrived. I still have areas in my life that I'm changing. I still have weaknesses in my own life. Lots of them. And we all need to change. Now, I've come a long way, but I got a long way to go. And every one of us in here, this is the Apostle Paul speaking. How many believes Apostle Paul was a godly man? He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. What if he had been unwilling to change? The church as we know it today might not be what it is today, because he established most of the churches in the Gentile world of his day. And look what he said about himself. Now, he was a Pharisee who really understood the Bible, supposedly. And he said this about himself. This is years after him walking with the Lord. He said, not as though I had already attained. And I'm going to put a word there. And if I used another version, it would say that probably. Not as though I had already arrived. In other words, he's on a journey, but he hasn't made it all the way yet. Either we're already perfect. In other words, I haven't changed to the point where I'm in perfection. He hasn't made it yet. And if Paul can say that, how about the rest of us? But I follow after that, I may apprehend that for which I was also apprehended of Jesus Christ. What am I saying this morning? I'm saying that Paul needed to change. How much more do we? And see, pride says, I don't need to change. I heard one young lady tell me in the youth group, and it broke my heart. I realize she's young. I realize she's got a stubbornness in her. I realize I was young at one time. And she says, I'm not changing for nobody. Well, I thought, okay, you don't. You keep the same personality you got, and you'll never have any friends, because she's hard to get along with. She needs to change. Are you with me? Now, that's not running her down. I'm not running her down. I'm saying that there are certain things in our lives, her life, she needs to change to make herself a better person, to make herself what God wants her to be. How many believes God wants us to be good people? How many believes God wants our life to go well with us? So we've got to be willing to accept what God wants if we're going to change. But she says, I'm not changing for God or nobody. I said, well, okay, you do it your way. That's pride that says, I don't want to change and I don't have to change. But I'm telling you, every one of us need to change. Listen to Proverbs 16:18. It said, pride and arrogance always precede destruction and a fall. I have counseled people who come to me for counsel and they say, I know the road I'm going down. How many knows that the Bible says, broad is the way that leads to destruction? Narrow is the way that leads to life. There are a lot of roads you can travel down in life that'll take you into destruction. And this scripture says, did I not have that one wrote down? Proverbs? Okay. It says, pride and arrogance go before destruction. In other words, if we're not willing to listen to wise counsel, and how many believes God's the wise counsel? Amen. How many knows that He knows what's going on? He created heaven and earth and all that's within. He's got a clue. And sometimes we're clueless. And if we're not willing to listen to what God says, then He says, destruction's ahead of you. And it comes in various forms. It may be relationships. It may be your finances. You know, there are people that spend out of control and can't control themselves, but won't listen to wise counsel from the Word of God, and only end up to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Finally, they get so bad that they file bankruptcy. And then after that, it's more of the same. And they just get, you know, and it just gets worse. It never gets better in their life. Listen to me. If we will listen to wise counsel and be willing to change, be flexible and pliable in God's hands. How many knows the scripture? He says that I am the potter, you are the clay. The whole idea of the potter and the clay is that God has the ability to mold and shape us into who He wants us to be. So pride says, I don't need to change and I'm not going to change. And the Bible says that destruction awaits you when you're unwilling to bend and to be flexible in God's, or pliable in God's hands. So all of us need to change. And then the second thing that we'll run into is fear. I'm afraid to change. When I first got born again, I will be honest with you. I got around Christians, and because I was so worldly, I felt out of place. I felt very uncomfortable because they were further down the road than I was. They thought and acted a little different than I did, and I could not identify. So I had a fear of change. I had a fear of getting around people that were on that road to change, and I didn't fit in, so to speak. And a lot of us have fear, and here's the kind of things we say, well, if I submit my life to God, I'm in control right now. If I submit my life to God, then where's He going to take me? Where's the Lord going to take me? Can I trust the Lord with my life? Listen to me, if we're believing Him for eternity, and all of us say we are, and we're believing in a heaven that we can't even see, why can't we believe Him here now on the earth that we do see and we're experiencing? So fear sometimes will keep us from making a change or allowing God to change us. We need to understand that God has our best interest in mind. Fear of the unknown. What will my life look like if I change? Well, I can tell you, if life is dysfunctional now, it'll look better. A whole lot better. If what you're experiencing right now is not what you want in life, then there is change available. So don't fear what the future holds. Don't fear what God will make out of you. I heard one person say, well, I'm not going to submit my life to the Lord because I'm afraid He'll call me to be a missionary and send me to Africa. All He's asking you to do right now is just come to church and learn. That's much later, if it ever comes to that. Be willing to let God change you. Don't be fearful of what God says He has in store for you. He has a lot in store for you. You know, a lot of people won't change jobs because of fear of the unknown, what a new job is going to bring, unless they're forced into it. Did you know a lot of people will not change in the church until they're forced into change? Circumstances put them in a position where they have to change, and then they change. Some people are fearful of, well, what if I change and what's it going to be like? Well, I'm telling you, if you trust God, it'll be very good. It'll be very good. God never changes us into something that is bad. He always changes us into something that is good. So we don't have to fear. And the Bible says, perfect love casteth out fear. Did you know God is perfect love? And He's not going to change you into something that's evil or something that's bad. He's going to change. If you've got a husband-wife relationship and you're not getting along and things aren't good at home, then He will change you into being the right partner so that you can get along with each other and your marriage will be blessed. Amen. That's what God has in mind. So fear is another one. And then there's this other one called rebellion. And I know none of you have that problem. I know you're all, listen to me, when we hear rebellion, the first thing that goes in our mind is the most evil person you can envision that won't even come to church. Don't kid yourself. There are folks sitting in the church pews today that have rebellion in their life that refuse to let God work with them. And there's a story in the Old Testament I want to show you, if you'll bring that up, Samuel. In Samuel, and I'm not going to read every verse for time's sake, but in Samuel there was a story of Saul who was anointed king. And God had anointed him king, and He gave him his first assignment as king. And He told him, go to verse 9, He told him to go because the Amalekites had tried to destroy Israel earlier. He said, the first thing I want you to do is destroy the Amalekites. But Saul had a different idea. He went, he did what the Lord told him to do. And this is how we do. We half-heartedly do what God tells us to do. And folks, listen to me very carefully. If we're not willing to do what God tells us to do, and we half-heartedly do what God tells us to do, it's still disobedience. There is no a little disobedience. Disobedience is disobedience, irregardless. And he told Saul he had great plans for the kingdom that Saul was supposed to reign over. But Saul thought he had a better plan than God. And Saul says, this is what happened. He went and said, but Saul and the people spared Agag, which was the king, and the best of the sheep and the oxen and the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good, and would not destroy them, but everything that was vile and refused, that they destroyed utterly. Go on to the next verse. I'll read it to you. Then came the word of the Lord to Samuel, saying, it repented me, this is from God, that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned his back from following me and have not performed any of the commandments. Wait a minute. He did go in there and he did conquer. God said he didn't perform any of the commandments because he didn't want to do what God wanted to do. He had a better plan than what God had. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. And I want you to go down to the next verses, 22 and 23, and look what happened. And then God told Samuel to go to him and said, and Samuel had said, hath the Lord as great delight, does the Lord have great delight in burnt offerings? What Saul had in mind was, we'll take all this, and it sounds logical. We'll take all this stuff, and we'll go give it to the Lord, sacrifice to the Lord, give offerings to the Lord, and God will be pleased with that. God told him to destroy it. But Saul thought he had a better way. Had the Lord great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness as iniquity and idolatry. We don't like to hear that, do we? Rebellion's as the sin of witchcraft. That's terrible. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he also hath rejected thee from being king. What am I telling you? If we have rebellion in our life and we choose not to follow after God's plans, all of the destiny that God had planned for Saul was wiped out. Your destiny depends upon you being obedient, being willing to not be rebellious, to be flexible and pliable in God's hands so that he can change and mold and shape you. We know that David later became the king, but that was not God's best. God's best was Saul become the king and do the right thing, but Saul chose not to. Because he wouldn't listen to instructions, he ended up losing everything that God had planned for him. I see this all the time in the church. I see people failing to listen to God's counsel. And to me, it's very obvious what the future holds. It's very predictable. I don't take joy in saying this. I see people, they come to me for counsel. I don't counsel them out of my own spirit. I take the word of God. They sit there and they agree with me. And then they walk away and do just the opposite of what you just told them. And I know what the future holds. It's very predictable. It's just like with Saul. You know what happens when people just choose to disobey God and say, I don't think so, God. I got a better way. Well, if your way was so much better, then why was you seeking God's counsel to start with? Amen. Come on, church. Amen. But anyways, and the future is predictable. They're going to run the gamut, and it's not going to work out. And it's going to keep happening in their life, the same thing that's been happening. Listen to me, if we're not willing to change our behavior patterns, the results are always going to be negative. And see, Saul lost his destiny because he refused to change. The fourth one is laziness. I don't feel like changing. Those of you that have a job, some of you might say, well, I like my job. Well, give it some time. Newness always makes you feel good about your job, okay? But laziness is when we won't put any energy in the kingdom of God, the things of God, the word of God. Change only comes by putting something in. Jesus said this. He said, the measure that you mete out is measured back to you. In other words, how much effort you're willing to extend is how much you're going to get back. What you measure out to the Lord is measured back. Laziness says, I don't feel like changing. Well, listen, I don't feel like going to work every day. But I go. Because I know if I don't, I don't get a check. And if I don't get a check, I don't pay my bills. If we always went by what we felt like, we would never, never, never be willing to change. And then there's this lack of desire here in 1 Peter 2 and 2. We heard earlier in the message that change comes through the Word of God. Why does change come through the Word of God? Because God's thoughts begin to change our thoughts. And when our thoughts change, our patterns and our lifestyles change. Look what He says to us, as newborn babes. In other words, when we get born again, we're all newborn babes. It's not bad to be a newborn babe in Christ. How many knows a baby gets treated pretty good? Huh? Little Ashlyn gets treated like gold. She gets carried everywhere. She gets fed. She gets burped. She gets her diapers changed. She gets clothes. She gets bathed. I mean, she gets treated like a queen. So being a baby is not all that bad. However, God does not want us to stay a baby forever. But as newborn babes, He says, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. First thing, if we have a lazy spirit about us, we don't have any desire. We won't have any desire. The first thing that has to happen in a Christian's life is a strong desire to want to change, to be different than they used to be. I don't know about you, but when I got born again, I was done with the old life. I was done with reaping what I sowed. I was done with all the bad things I was experiencing in my life and in my family's life because it wasn't good in my household. Thank God my wife got born again and that got a hold of me. She got born again and then I really realized how ugly and nasty I was. But I had a desire after I got born again. And it's natural. Listen to me. You don't have to tell a baby to desire to be fed. They'll let you know when they're hungry. They just naturally want the bottle and baby food and every other thing they can pick up put in their mouth. But there has to be a desire on our part to desire the sincere milk of the Word. And it says this Word will cause us to grow. Growth is change. Every one of us need to grow. We need to change. Here's what I do in my life. There are areas in my life that I know that I am not renewed in. In other words, I'm weak in. Those are the areas that I target with the Word of God to renew my mind. As a newborn babe, you've got a lot of areas. And you can just target anything and you're probably going to be on target. But I'm saying that if we will have a desire to change, then we can start reading God's Word, and His Word brings about change. We've seen that it causes transformation in our life. Look at 3 John 2 with me. And this is why we want to change. It says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you mayest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth." Did you know the reason why some people are caught in cycles in their life that are negative is because their soul needs prospering in that area to get them out of that cycle? And it says if our soul prospers, then our life prospers. Look what it says. It says that we may prosper. How many could use a little bit of prosperity? How many could use some financial blessings in your life? God, listen to me, and don't get religious on me. God knows we need finances to live. He created money and all the gold and silver, and He owns it all on all the cattle on all the hill. He understands. He made Solomon the richest man that ever lived. He made Abraham rich. He made all the patriarchs of the Old Testament that served Him with their whole heart. They were wealthy men and God because they kept God first. God has no problem with money. But He says your soul's got to prosper if you're going to prosper in the natural. And then He says, after you prosper in the natural, He says, look, your health will even prosper. Folks, with all that's going on in the world today, we need God's health to get through it. Bird flu, swine flu, every kind of flu under the sun, every kind of sickness under the sun, every kind of disease that they can't take care of today. But it's what is soul prosperity? It's when my mind begins to get renewed, my mind gets changed. And when my mind changes, I will think different and it causes me to act different. And then change has really happened, and you'll begin to see some blessings in your life. How many wants to be blessed this morning? And then the last thing is ignorance. I've never thought about changing. Ignorance is not an excuse for not changing. the Word of God is accessible in so many ways. There's every kind of Bible under the sun anymore that speaks in normal language. The Message Bible, the New Living Testament, the NIV, the Amplified Bible. There is no excuse that we can say, well, I just can't understand that. And there's a church on every corner. And then there's ministry on radio and TV. If we really want change, then we will begin to see that ignorance is not an excuse, because the Word of God is readily available. Back in the days of the disciples, they didn't have the Word of God like we got it. I see people toting 3 or 4 different Bible versions into church with them anymore. Back then, they didn't have that. They went to the synagogue and somebody would read them out of a parchment or a text, the Word of God. And they had to memorize the Word of God in their heart. Today, it's available in every kind of format that you can think of. So we don't have to be ignorant of the Word of God. We don't have to be ignorant of change. Because God said everything we need to do, everything we need to change is right here. I'll close with this one last verse. Joshua chapter 1. If I can find it. There it is. Verse 8. Joshua was a protege of Moses, been following Moses. He was riding along on the coattail of Moses. All of Moses' success was Joshua got to enjoy it because of Moses. But then Moses was taken off the scene. And look what God said to him. He says, verse 7, "Only be strong, be very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do all that according to the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from the left or to the right, that thou may prosper whithersoever thou goest." Now look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night, that thou may observe to do all that's according that is written therein. For then thou wilt find thy way prosperous, and thou shalt have good success. I want you to know this morning, God wants you to be successful. It is a crying shame in the church. People are not being successful when everything, all the tools are there for us to be successful. All we have to do is make ourselves available. He said, if you'll meditate in my word, and see, meditation begins to change our thought life. Will begin to change, and God will get glory out of it. And he said, you'll find good success. Who does God need success? No. Come on, church. Does God need success? No. We do. These are God's thoughts. This is the way God thinks. God already is successful because he thinks that way. And he's saying, if you will begin to feed on my word, let my word get down in your heart, in your mind, it'll begin to change your life. And you will find good success. And all of us need that. Come on up if you will, Nina. Amen. Stand to your feet with me. I want to give you an opportunity this morning. If you don't know Jesus, bow your heads with me. If you don't know Jesus, the first step to change is accept the free gift, the righteousness of God, which is in Christ, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for our lives. Accept that. And from that point on, change can happen. You've seen where it says, as newborn babes, if you want to be new in the kingdom, the first thing you got to do is recognize, I need God. Everybody that's been born again, come down this road and had to say, Jesus, I need you. Or if you're here today and you have walked with the Lord, but you're not walking with him like you once did, and you need to renew your relationship with the Lord, I'd love to pray for you today. If that's you, if you'll slip your hand up, I'll pray for you today before you leave. Anybody at all? Anybody need prayer for your body, healing, financial blessings? Amen.